The Sports Career Podcast, episode 360, How to Be More Sustainable in Fashion and Football. Hello, Sports Achiever, and welcome back to another episode of the Sports Career Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. I'm your host, Ed Bowers. As always, my goal each week is to provide you a special guest who's an expert in a particular sector in the sports industry, especially if you have an interest with regards to sports fashion, football, and sustainability. I hope today's episode can support your sports career development, interests, and needs. Now, getting back to today's podcast, special guest is Suzanne McKenzie, who is the founder and CEO of AbleMade, which is an original off-the-pitch soccer-style brand, which really aims to empower amazing kids around America through the UCal McKenzie Breakaway Foundation. For that reason, it's such a pleasure to have Suzanne as a podcast special guest on the show, where she will share her entrepreneurial journey and explain to you how to be more sustainable in fashion and in the football business industry. Have a listen and enjoy. Suzanne, it's such a joy to have you on the Sports Career Podcast. Please you share to listeners your fashion and sports career journey. When did it all start?
So it really started for me, I would say, when I was young, because I was a three-sport athlete. I played soccer or football. I also played basketball and softball ever since I was in second grade. And I didn't really recognize or anticipate the power that sports would have in my adult life. So I would say it started on a field in second grade for me. I went on to Boston, Massachusetts, and had my undergrad and double major of advertising and design, and then went on to a career in advertising and strategy, starting at really big agencies in Boston, working on big clients from ESPN to Timberland, Cars Cruise Bank, you know, most categories. I was there for a decade, so really was able to touch pretty much the whole portfolio of business in some way, shape, or form. And it was such a great time. The agency was called Arnold Worldwide. They were super hot at the time. So they really, really had top talent. So I was able to build a really strong network. And then went on to a few different consultancy firms, worked with IDEO before on projects, which was really great. Continuum, you know, working on Sprint and American Express new business accounts. I really wanted to set out to build my own practice really around, you know, people, planet, profit, not just profit. So from there, I set out to start my own design practice. And about 3 weeks out of that, I lost my husband really unexpectedly of sudden cardiac arrest on a soccer field. So that literally kicked off what became a nonprofit and my business. And that was in 2009.
We'll talk about that in a lot more detail. And honestly, it was that story, everybody, right at the end that choked me up at the Athens Women's Football Summit. And I think this story is very powerful. And I think it leads to, I'm going to give a bit of a hint to people with regards to AbleMade. But I want to go back in time to that young Suzanne as the soccer player. Just looking back, because we've all played sport, everybody I have on my podcast all talks about childhood memories. For me, it's playing tennis and rugby and how those lessons of sport have helped me with other walks in life. Out of interest, how is soccer, with the skill sets on the pitch, supported you in business out of interest? I'm just curious.
I mean, I think I'm successful because of what I did on the court and on the pitch. I, you know, have really been able to cultivate, you know, principles around teamwork and passion and working hard and resilience. Like if you lose a game, you come back the next time and you try even harder, you make adjustments, you know, you pivot as you need to, and you do that as a group. You're not doing that in an individual setting like other sports like skiing or maybe tennis. I was really involved in team sports my whole life. So I really have been able to transition that into a business setting. And it's really funny when I meet other professionals because I can almost tell before they tell me that they played a sport before. Because I don't know, it's just like a vibe that they have, a way that they approach those sort of topics of team environments. It's just really,
Would you say
just
it's their
really
body
cool.
language? Would you say it's
It
their body
almost
language?
is.
Yeah.
It almost is. It's almost like, you recognize it right away. So it's been really interesting in a professional setting, to work with other former athletes.
And just touching on with regards to time at Boston from a college standpoint, we say university here in the UK, but I'm just curious with regards to your degree and what you studied. Like, could you just paint the picture of how you learned that theoretical knowledge and then applied it working with the agencies of Timberland, which is one of my favorite brands, the best boots in the world, but also let's say also ESPN. I'm just would love students to hear your experience of that transition of theory knowledge into practical knowledge, if that makes sense.
Sure. So I really started in Boston at university. It's called Suffolk University and New England School of Art and Design. So they had, a business and communication school. And then they also had acquired an art school called New England School of Art and Design. So it allowed me an opportunity to pretty much double major. So I was in the advertising communications school, but also was able to go into graphic design at the same time. So it was a lot of hard work to like balance the two kind of worlds, but it was really, really great. And I actually went back for graphic design as I was, working full time for another graphic design program. And it's really interesting to take like theory and the things you learn in the classroom and bring that into a real world environment. And it was really interesting bringing the work environment back into school when I was working full time and going back for my second, degree. So it was. I think you have to have that real experience, but you also have to have that like foundational knowledge that academics can give you as well. So I'm really glad that I did 4 years plus, for a degree, and then also was able to apply it into a professional setting. But I will say still, if you work hard, if you're a team player, if you do all those things that I mentioned before that I learned, playing sports, I feel like that is the biggest thing you could bring to any environment, whether it be academics or professional. Like that's going to give you an edge. That's going to make you want, the teams want to work with you. I think those things that aren't, learned in the academic setting so much, that you can learn, through playing a sport or in other environments is equally important.
Also, it's a controllable as well. Sorry to interrupt. It's a controllable, your work ethic, how you show up being in a team compared to theory. You can be taught and develop that skill. I think I need to highlight that because everybody, that's the key, even for myself. But Suzanne, quickly, with regards to you said you know, one area you're working with now is strategy. Trust me, I've been learning on strategy and I'll be honest at the Athens Women's Football Summit. Do you think strategy wise, you only learn when you're doing it? And then seeing how it all plays out with the activations and actions to achieve the goal you're trying to achieve. Because for me, I've read the books on certain things. Let's just say sales strategy as an example. And then when you do it, it's not as clean as it is, but that's where the resilience comes in, or anything that doesn't work out, you've got to find another solution within the strategy or plan. Does this all make sense? Because for me, I think I'm going in that nitty-gritty of that practical experience. You only know when you do it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that side.
100%. I think again, it's really important to have that like foundational work. If you start with a strategy and a clear direction as to what you're doing and why, I think you need to have that foundation, but you have to have that flexibility when you're actually applying it. The application, like you said, can be going left or right, and you just have to maintain and make sure that you can adjust and be flexible enough to like, make a pivot if you need to, or if the, tweak the strategy if you're getting data that supports a switch. But that flexibility is key.
Another thing you hinted before we go to the real story with regards to your husband and but it's the networking side. You mentioned like the early foundational years of your career is that building that network. And this is a huge topic throughout the years of doing this podcast, and even I teach this, but how supportive has it been, even relating to your experience with Able Made, which we'll touch on. But for me, I call networking a lifestyle, and it's just part of your life. So I won't call it a job. I think it only comes natural because we're human beings. We like to communicate. But my definition of networking is a skill. When I say that to myself, it means I always have to keep developing it to my best ability. So the mic's yours on that. But that's sort of my side of networking through my experience. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic as well.
Yeah, and I actually call networking relationships, right? So relationships are everything. They're everything, and you need support when you're building business, when you're, on a team, when you're doing really anything to accomplish and get better results. You can do it alone, or as the saying goes, if you want to go far, do it together. And the power of just having more people in the room or more brain trust is going to get you a better result. And inclusivity and diversity is so huge. And the more people that you can have from different backgrounds and, providing different insights is going to make the product and the results better. So that is everything. Relationships are everything. And it's definitely one of the key reasons that I'll talk about later that have gotten us as far as we've gotten.
100%. Let's dig into this and let's go back to your husband, because I think, for me, learning from you at Athens and when you shared this story, would you mind just talking about him and who he was as a person? Because I know he touched many people in the community from a football standpoint, from a school administrator, if I'm correct as well. For me, just talk about him and then we'll really talk about the impact from a foundation standpoint.
My husband, Yukal McKenzie, was a incredible person. He was beloved in the Boston area and beyond because of his good humor, his dance skills, and his just ability to connect with people no matter who they were. He immigrated from Jamaica to the United States, to actually New York, Long Island, when he was just 16, and was really able to use soccer as a catalyst to get himself comfortable in a new culture and a new country. So he wanted to take that passion for soccer and pay it forward. So he became the first in his family to get a master's degree. He also became a high school guidance counselor and their boys' varsity soccer coach. So really connected to, the community on many levels. He also spent nights and weekends working with a club called Vallejo and, serving inner city kids. And outreaching, like bringing them, to soccer practice when they didn't have a ride. A lot of them coming from lower income or single parent or guardian households. So again, it wasn't just a loss for me and my family to have him pass away of sudden cardiac arrest, but it was a real loss to the community. And to keep myself going in 2009 when he passed away, we started the Yukal McKenzie Breakaway Foundation. It's a 501c3 nonprofit. And I really wanted to continue the hard work he was already doing in the community. So we started with camps and clinics. The idea of bringing affordable youth sports back, when I was young, it wasn't the price it is today, which is a whole other conversation. It just makes me so upset, that these kids aren't getting the opportunities that they should, getting great content. Our camps are $0 to $99 for an entire week. And we have great relationships in terms of content. We have the MLS, New England Revolution, coming to help us run the camp sometimes. Like their academy comes out every year. They have players come out, their mascot comes out. We have collegiate or university players come out. We had the captain of University of Connecticut at our camp last year. Christine Lilly, who's one of the, she's actually the most capped player ever. She's won several World Cups for the US. She's run sessions for us before. And we've just had so many amazing people coming out on the soccer side. And I think another differentiator for us is that we run health education every single day for an hour. So, of course, there's hands-only CPR and AED awareness based on what happened with my husband, but we also complement that with nutrition education, concussion education, suicide prevention, financial literacy, and we really pay attention to what the community needs with working by working with the local high schools, public high schools, and communities to see what the kids need for education and support. So we're in three markets now. We're in Boston, Hartford, and breaking into New York City this year, and it's our 15th year anniversary this year.
Wow. Can we decode this topic, Leah. I know it's a big conversation, which you said, but I think it's really important because on this podcast, I get some big names. Like, I'll say one that came out this week with Kelly Simmons, you know, who been involved with the FA for 32 years. And, you know, I always say that we're so focused on the Lionesses from an England standpoint at the pinnacle of the sport. But we need to cannot forget about the grassroots, or like you said, giving people access, because for me, that's what the power of football is. It's a way of expressing ourselves. If the classroom, for me, it was, sport was a way to showcase my other skills, because in the classroom, it was a struggle because I'm dyslexic. So as an example, so I want to go back to you with the 15 years of, like, not just the impact of that, but also as an industry, we can't forget to support this area of the ecosystem. So it's bigger than what goes on at these mega events from the elite side of sport. I think this is a really important subject to talk on. And firstly, massive congratulations to you and your team for 15 years.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, the youth are our future. You know, if you think about the talent pool, if you're thinking of it strictly from a business perspective, you have to make sure that your talent pool is strong, you know, especially for competition on the international level, right? So you really need to have that there. So from a straight business perspective, it should be critical. For me, for socioeconomics and just, you know, leveling the playing field, literally, we want to make sure that these kids have access to great things, you know, education, physical, you know, movement, so that they stay healthy from both a physical standpoint and mental standpoint. So sports for me really helped cultivate those sort of disciplinary, healthy lifestyle things that I bring into my life. So, you know, we want to support kids that might have even more challenges. For example, we give away free breakfast and lunch, and sometimes that's the kids' most favorite thing about the camp because there's food insecurity. And it blows your mind, being in the United States especially, that, you know, you're in a country where that still happens, but it does, and you can easily forget. But, you know, I personally work the camps, as does my AbleMade team and of course the foundation team, but it's really amazing to be on the ground to talk to the kids and their families and understand the needs of the community that we're serving as well. But it's critical. Like, we have to support the next generation for sure.
I want to ask a personal question, because you've been doing this for 15 years now. Like, what quality of you, Cal, from your husband, like, has supported you from a personal development standpoint? Because for me, I'm just inspired. I don't know about you, the listeners, but, like, I just admire what you've done. But I would love to hear from yourself reflecting of the drive behind it. And I hope you don't mind me asking that question, because I think it's so important, in my opinion, of your growth, to acknowledge what you've already achieved. And there's more to come, by the way, everybody. We haven't even touched on AbleMade, but the mic's yours.
I think UCal is in both AbleMade and the foundation through and through. I mean, without him, there wouldn't be either one, really. If he wasn't the person he was, like, I couldn't do any of this. I couldn't brand it. I couldn't, you know, be the best designer or brander in the world, and I couldn't do it if that DNA wasn't there to begin with, right? So for me, I think one of the biggest way that might show up is the positivity. He was such a positive person all the time, always smiling, always laughing. And, you know, I think that is something that we are as well. Like, we're always, you know, looking at the cup half full, and we're always striving for improving ourselves. And one thing he said when he was coaching was better, 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 meaning, like, just keep going, keep improving, you know, you can do it. So I think that is through and through, that positivity and uplifting other people, I think, is one of the biggest things that, you know, we continue on his behalf.
100%. And I know Athens want to support this, and so do I now, because this is the sort of stories I haven't heard. And it's so, like, for me, I can hear the real impact, and the 15 years, it still blown me away. And I think, like you say about the meals, just the simplest things. And yeah, it just reminds me to be grateful for the lifestyle I live. But I do want to touch on one thing you said when you decided to go with the AbleMade in particular. You wanted more impact. And after learning from you from a sort of sustainability standpoint, I wanted that to be the main theme. So when was the moment from a fashion standpoint when your sort of sustainability mindset came in with regards to fashion, but also football?
So I've always approached from day one of AbleMade the business model as incorporating responsibility and sustainability. So it wasn't something we had to layer on or have to add on later. It's been there since the inception. So for me, in my design approach, I like to do things holistically. So if I'm going to launch a fashion brand that gives back to a soccer foundation, I also want to make sure that the people that are making it are supported. They're in healthy environments when they're cutting and sewing our garments, they're getting paid a fair wage. And that's really important to me. And layer on top, the fabrics, they don't have any harsh chemicals. So when our makers are touching and cutting and sewing, those aren't being absorbed into their skin. So, and also for our customers too, certified organic, or we're really choosy about what kind of fabrics that we use throughout. We really strive for excellence on that as well. So that's a great thing. And I think comes across in our authenticity about the responsibility approach that we take with the business. It's like, it's not an add-on. It's not a marketing proposition. It's actually in our DNA to do it.
So just for the listeners, can you just describe what AbleMade is, just for a clear clarification? I hope you know it's clothing, everybody, but if you could just paint the picture to the listener of what is AbleMade, that'd be amazing. Then we'll dig deep on the sustainability standpoint.
Yeah, well, it was really born after a few products that we delivered at the very beginning of the foundation. So I did a capsule collection with Nike, and they let me sell it for proceeds to go back to the foundation, and included like jerseys and jackets, hats. So it was really fun to do that and have a vehicle that you could wear and get excited about, and helped spread the word about the foundation. I then also, as a designer, created a poster calendar and had like Alan Dye from Apple, Pentagram, IDEO, Puma's Design Group, all these huge names in the art world contributed original art pieces, became an annual calendar, and then sold at the Museum of Modern Art. It sold at the Institute of Contemporary Art, the Standard Hotels, and very like selective retailers. So that was the second product related project that helped fund the foundation. And based on the success of those two things, I ended up getting a meeting at Vogue, and then that turned into an introduction to a brand called Rag & Bone, which is out of the UK. And then it literally, in that meeting at the Rag & Bone headquarters about maybe a t-shirt, to support the foundation, I clicked on this idea to do apparel and a brand that could, really support the foundation as its own business, as a responsible for-profit business. And we launched at the end of 2013, and it was really starting with a bunch of like collaboration drops. We did stuff with Puma, Project Runway, Swell Bottle, and others, and funded not only my foundation, but other nonprofits as well. And it wasn't until 2022 where we kind of stopped the collaborations and came back to our own selves, if you will, and started, being inspired more by the soccer heritage of why we started. Soccer style apparel. And that's when it's really taken off, to be honest with you. It's, I haven't been able to keep up ever since. We have a upcycling partnership with Burberry. We're retailing in Nordstrom. We are having shops at the Luxury One hotels. We're being worn across the Premier League, the MLS, NWSL, but also NBA, WNBA, and others. So it's been pretty incredible to take, some successes off of a nonprofit to turn that idea into a business and, celebrate soccer style, because soccer style is the coolest.
100%. And can we dig deep on the sustainability and decode it a little bit? First, I want to talk about the power of the pineapple with the leaf fibers from a sustainability standpoint. Can we touch on that one, like with the fibers of the clothing? But I just love that you said the power of fruit. I said, no, it's the power of the pineapple. Could you actually talk about that fiber? Because I think it's fascinating, that just from a clothing standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, we're not shy about helping others, again, like relationships and partnerships, but I find it fascinating that, there's a lot of companies trying to iterate or explore what they can do for sustainable options for fabrics and materials, one being anti-leather, right? So leather uses so much water, to cultivate and, and to produce leather is really taxing on the environment. And then animal cruelty, there's a lot of different layers to that using that material. And we wanted to support a company called Pinatext. They're creating vegan leathers materials. So, they have it's made out of leaves and their skins. And they've been really working hard to continue to iterate, but there's a metallic that we use that was really amazing. We also used another fiber called apple skin, and that's used from apple skin and cores. So it's been a lot of fun just to support and be one of the first to market supporting some of these really innovative materials. And now we're really focused on upcycling, so using fabrics that the earth already has, like some companies already have, which is what we're doing with our friends at Burberry. And, certified organic is really important to us as well. And then the other fabric that we prioritize is cruelty-free merino wool. It's the only animal product that we have, and we only use it for socks right now. So we don't use any leathers. We're pretty much a vegan brand other than our cruelty-free merino wool. But sustainability, like we're super picky down to the threads that we use. Like we want to make sure we have recycled qualities. My design team, I think, goes nuts on me sometimes because, or gets frustrated maybe because I'm like, this button, we can't use a plastic button. And, it's just part of the process. And I think they do enjoy it. But I do get pretty specific, I guess, on what my expectations are.
So we got the sustainability in the clothing. Can we talk about the sustainability of how the profits go into the foundation? Because I'm going to give one hint because it hit me the most again in Athens when you said part of the proceeds of every shirt go towards defibrillators at your camps or even grassroots teams. And I was like, this is what it really means to be sustainable. It's not just good for Mother Earth. It's actually the whole ecosystem, the whole cycle of the business you're building. So can you just touch on this side of the sustainability as well, please?
Yes. So we were really born to fund the foundation or help become a awareness and funding vehicle for this nonprofit. That's why we were born as a brand and a business. So some of our proceeds of every single sale, it can go from 5 to 10%, or even more sometimes, depending on the drop that we're doing. And it really supports the camps and the clinics and our initiative to really raise awareness about hands-only CPR and AEDs. We're actually working now with the City of Boston to distribute AEDs to public parks and public areas, which is actually expanding right now into a larger program, which I'm super excited. It's going to reveal itself, I think, in the coming months. But we've worked hard to also distribute to different leagues, one being the league my husband was playing for, called the Bay State Soccer League. So they have a championship every year called the Mackenzie Cup, renamed on, in his honor. And we go to that championship game, and we distribute AEDs to the two teams that play. And we're going to continue to do that on an annual basis. The team UCAL was playing against actually just had to use one of their own defibrillators in September of 2023, and it ended up saving a life, which was remarkable. So I think, our fingerprints are on that, in that we helped save a life. So we can quantifiably say that Able Made, has helped save a life, which I don't think a lot of fashion brands can claim.
So just on that point, if people are listening in, trying to be more sustainable, it goes back to the sustainable mindset. And I know the foundation and the purpose and the story is so powerful, but what guidance, I think it's, I don't think tips are the right word. It's more like guidance advice would you give to an organization trying to think differently from a sustainability standpoint than using old ways? And trust me, you put me on the spot as well. So I think this is such an important topic because you've just said, Able Made can actually say it saved a life. And that's through the clothing you're selling. So I'm not saying I want people listening going, well, that's the standard. No, you could be sustainable in other ways and impact other people's lives within the community you live. So I just want to be clear on that. But would you mind just sharing some guidance of how people can adjust for impact in their business than just profit? I know it's a big question, but I think it's important.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked for really big brands, Fortune 500 brands in my career, but I've also always worked for smaller emerging brands and nonprofits. So I've seen how hard it is to, turn a big ship versus a small, nimble one. So we're small and nimble, so we can make adjustments and kind of build a culture from, the beginning. But, when you're working with a heritage brand or business that has been doing things in a certain way that might not incorporate sustainability, it can be a little bit more complex. But I really think it starts at the leadership level. Like, I think if there's a true and authentic commitment and not just a marketing proposition to do things in a more responsible way as a business, I think that is key and critical. And we've collaborated with some big brands. We've collaborated with, Nikes or Pumas or Burberrys, and I think the leadership at those, levels has been really critical to the success for both of our, initiatives and goals for our partnership. So, I think that's the biggest thing is being open, being able to look with a critical eye at what you're doing and being honest with yourself about ways that you need to improve and, making sure that your systems can adjust and, support the new direction if you need to incorporate it in and, versus starting from scratch and already having it there. I think that's the biggest challenge, but it's not that it can't be done. And I think a key moment for me is, having us being an emerging brand working with a heritage luxury fashion brand. I mean, you can't go any higher in terms of, top of the top when you're working with a Burberry and to have their leadership on board because they know it's important. Sustainability is important. Fashion's one of the most polluting industries in the world. We have to work together and not be competitive about it. Like, let's work together to solve, problems. It comes back to that teamwork value that you have when you play sports. Like, let's work together and, make everybody, stronger and better.
Just reflect on that point, because that is what I was going to ask next, is the power of collaboration. Like, for me, 2020 taught me that during COVID, of like a new approach. You've just mentioned there with Burberry, but just for, again, people are hearing this, the name, they just hear a big, like you said, Puma as well. But reflecting how these collaborations have made the whole thing stronger from an impact standpoint, because I want other people to model this, that with the right leadership, with the right value that is aligned, anything's possible. And actually, we all should take more credit when we're doing good for the planet or for people. So I just would love to hear your thoughts on the collaboration part of the vital that approach in business than competing all the time.
I mean, I wouldn't have the foundation or AbleMade if it weren't for partnerships. Like, full stop. Like, I wouldn't. So many people have been so generous with working with us since the beginning and believing in my vision for both, organizations. It's we started AbleMade as like strictly collaboration partnerships, right? So I built the brand based on like limited edition collaboration drops. And on the foundation side, Puma is now a seven, actually 8 year sponsor. They donate all of the apparel for both the staff and the kids, the balls, the equipment. We got soccer as an amazing partner. They also have helped build relationships and made introductions and printed and helped on the apparel side. And even down to like the locations, we actually have the camps at Pro Stadium in Hartford, where the Hartford Athletic play, and they're also a partner as well. So, the New England Revolution. So, partnerships through and through have been absolutely critical, especially being an undercapitalized business. That we've built this business with under $1 million in funding, and it's the first time we're really raising capital, really going for it, just because we've been able to do so much and proven out so much without, the capital that we've really needed. And then we probably punch way above our weight. And, it looks like we might have had a 10 to $15 million access to capital based on what we've been able to produce. But I've been able to do that because of the partnerships that we've cultivated.
And just going back to the networking part, I want to bring in, because I think it's important, again, how vital is that with the meaningful connections? I know it's stating the obvious, but that's like, even with Athens, just going through that experience of women's football, it's been those conferences that have managed to create meaningful opportunities, collaborations. And for me, I've just learned, if but just by showing up and caring in what you do, it opens up doors that even for me, I've never imagined. Even speaking to you, Suzanne, I'm just going to say how it is. But that's why I just want to touch on the networking. It's not always B2B. It's about the real connection of the impact you're trying to achieve in, for you, it's Able Made. For me, it's the podcast or the Athens Summit as an example. So I just want to hear your thoughts on the networking piece when it comes down to the journey of Able Made and the vision and where the future's going as well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think networking and re relationship building is critical and key. And you have to be really open to taking risks, especially if you're more introverted. You have to put yourself out there. You have to show up. You have to like go places and not be afraid to introduce yourself and take a risk and introduce yourself to someone you don't know. I do this all of the time, and I tell people, you know, I probably wouldn't have come up with the idea for Able Made if I didn't cold call Anna Wintour's office at Vogue, get a meeting there because I cold called, and then that parlayed into an introduction to Rag & Bone. And that's literally where I had the idea for Able Made. If I didn't make that call, I might not even have thought about it. So, like, you have to be willing to take a risk and like do things like that. And it blows my mind when I talk to people in the professional settings that are just really timid about taking those risks, and you just have to. And I feel like I've been more successful in taking them and having positive results because not everybody does it. So like I think that's the first step, is like you have to introduce yourself, you have to show up to a conference or a summit, you have to, you know, keep yourself open to new relationships and new experiences, and that's going to build your network for sure.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Your definition of risk, what would it be? Like, I know you described it, but what would be your definition of it?
I mean, doing things that scare the crap out of you. Like, do,
I
like, oh shoot, that is like really intimidating, but you know what? Hold my beer. I'm gonna go do it anyways. And I'm telling you, like, if you just put the effort in, you're gonna build your confidence and do it. And it might be easier for you to do it the next time. So, you know, you just have to be willing and confident to do it. And you know, take that chance. And even if it doesn't show, you know, show itself in the way that you want it to in terms of a result, you know, it's gonna pay off eventually. So continue to take the risk and believe in yourself.
100%. And out of interest, Suzanne, and I'm going to say this question, but I think it's so relevant in this episode. How proud of you looking back with regards to what you achieve at Able Made in the foundation right now, right in this moment?
This is a tough question for me, because I think as an entrepreneur, and especially as a, you know, someone who's doing this for a reason that's so personal, you have a, or at least I have a hard time in just stepping back and like looking at things. And this year, or this past year, I tried to do that. I'm trying to do that again this year, but I, at the camps, I'm just so in it, and I'm like, okay, is this right? Is the, you know, are the gates open? Is this parent okay? Like, you know, there's a schedule on time. Like, I'm so in it that I sometimes I forget to stand back and just look at the kids playing and having joy, and you know, acknowledging this is happening because of my husband. So like I try to take a few minutes every day and to do that, and it's hard and it's emotional, but I try to do that. And with Able Made, I think last year was probably the most challenging year for the business and for me personally. We had so much momentum. Like so much momentum, inbounding things. We had opened a store, like we had shops at the one hotel. We had pro athletes across sports wearing us. Like it was insane. And our working capital wasn't catching up with the momentum we had built. So it was super challenging. And I will tell you, one of the most things I'm proud of is being steady and even and keeping my head in very stressful situations where I could have maybe lost my cool or popped off at somebody. Like my hand stays even, I stay even, and I'm really proud of myself, because I could have just gone the another direction several times, but I didn't, and I'm most proud of myself for that and for keeping things together. And you know, we're in a good place
I
now.
know this is, a very hard question because it's all in the moment. But when you were finding that composure, was it a bit like the example you said when we're at the gates watching the kids play? It's taking that step back and taking, let's say, one breath and being the present moment. Is that what you mean? Of because it, trust me, I know what you're saying. I can connect with Even my podcast, I have a standard where I need to make sure I get them out every week. It's a simple one. And if I don't, I get a bit twitchy. But I just want to hear how you stay composed. If there's any ways, is it, as I said, is it that taking a step back, deep breath moment to stay present? I'm just curious. I think this is a really interesting point from what you're proud of. Putting you on the spot, but go ahead.
I mean, no, it's a good question because I've been thinking about it a lot lately. And I do a few things. Sometimes I just take a beat and like walk away or like go for a run or like do something completely separate just to like compose myself and gather my thoughts. Sometimes I write out what I would like to say, you know, just to get off my chest. I archive that and then I respond in a way that I think I should respond. So, like, those things help me like stay nice and even and professional. Even if you're not on the receiving end of the, you know, people who are being professional to you, like it's definitely helped me maintain myself for sure.
No, I get it. I love those two, and I hope people are taking notes. So, honestly, I'm so glad I picked that up because I think those are the little things you only know, by the way, everybody, is by trying. And I think you should experiment both of them. I'm going to experiment one of them. I do the walking one, but the writing down one I love. I'm going to give that a go. Seriously, you just put me on the spot there myself of how I will process things and my next, I have seriously, there's a few, but also really quickly, we don't have to go too personal, but I think it's important, when you're running a business and being an entrepreneur, I call it juggling. I've got rid of the word balance. There's no such thing as balance, but juggling that, there's other aspects of life. Like for me, we've talked before, I won't go into detail, but like the family aspect, like as an entrepreneur, how do you keep that juggling afloat, if that makes with that ball in the air from a control standpoint?
I think I've always, even when I was super young, like even back to college, I've always had a pretty full plate. Like I would be working, I would be a resident assistant, I would be have a full course load, I would be interning. So like I've always been pretty busy. And then I think I've carried over kind of that like discipline of trying to keep it all together. It's always a struggle. Like one something's gonna give if you're, you know, if you're that busy and you're trying to build a nonprofit and build a business at the same time. So it's challenging and it's something that I continue to strive for more quote unquote balance. But I think, you know, it's on a day-to-day or week-to-week, you know, basis because, you know, things happen and you have to adjust your schedule for sure. And like you have to just make sure that you can maintain and it's never perfect. But I try to just eat healthy. I'm trying to exercise, you know, more consistently. I've kind of lost my way there, but I'm going to come back. And then, you know, just making sure you have a strong team that can support you if you need to focus in one area versus another. So it's something you always have to manage. For me, it's a day-to-day basis. But just being aware and, you know, being aware of what's coming up and you know, helping manage your own schedule is help it's helping me for sure.
100%. And I'm on the same thing with the exercise. When that drops, the energy levels drop. And it's something it's that self-awareness I've realized myself. Wow, what a conversation thus far. And I always like to finish with an inspirational question, Suzanne. And feel free to recap certain aspects of what you've already shared. But for me, I'd love to ask, like, what three tips in business have really supported you working in the sports and fashion industry? Like, what are those three tips be?
It all comes back to there's the we call them the three D's: discipline, determination, and dedication. So we kind of have those as principles for the foundation, and I think that those three things can, you know, really be tips on the pitch or in a business environment or really anything in life. You know, if you have those principles and apply them, you know, whether you're making a cake or you know, you're doing a little jog or, you know, you're trying to get to the next milestone for your business. I think, you know, dedication, discipline, determination are really valuable no matter what's going on.
Love those 3 Ds. That is cool. That's brilliant. No, I hope people are taking notes on those 3 Ds, and I couldn't agree more. Certainly with the first one, the discipline. When that in place, the rest, the other 2 Ds will follow. And look, Suzanne, how can people interact with you and AbleMade online? Like, where are the best places to go?
So you can find out more about AbleMade at our website, ablemadeshop.com. And you could also shop our newest collections there as well. We are building our Instagram and our TikTok communities currently. So if you want to like us or follow us there, that would be great as well. So those are the main places. And I speak around the country, and now I could say around the world with the Athens Speaking Summit, which was really fun. So my next speaking engagement is going to be March at the Kicking and Screening Film Festival, which is all soccer inspired films, and I'm so excited to be speaking on their opening nights. So that's going to be coming up in March, and I also have some speaking engagements coming up that I'll be listing out too.
Amazing. To all the listeners listening in, all those links will be on my website with regards to this awesome podcast chat. Suzanne, it's been a joy chatting with you today. Thank you very much.
You as well. Thank you for having me so much. Always a pleasure.
What a really humbling podcast experience with Suzanne. And for me, it was so hard to not get that emotion with regards to what she's built with the foundation from the inspiration of her husband, Yukal. And I think for me, it was a reminder of how people can leave a legacy whilst they're not here with regards to the impact to others. And it's just phenomenal with regards to the 15 years of the foundation. But what's even more inspiring from an entrepreneurial standpoint is how Suzanne's used AbleMade to create that sustainability where profit of every piece of clothing goes back into the foundation. And then creates incubators for grassroots teams to stop any incidences on the football pitch happen. And they've got the right resources if there's an incident from a heart attack on the pitch, for example. And for me, it's just how business can be a tool to create impact to people. And I think it's just a great reminder. It's certainly a podcast I'll re-listen to of how creating a business that can impact from a people's perspective and create profit and, from a sustainability standpoint where it's very efficient. But from a sports career development standpoint, I hope you learn about networking. And it was a theme throughout this whole conversation about the benefits of networking as a skill, but also building relationships that can create opportunities for others and yourself. So really put into place one learning lesson from this podcast, apply it to your sports career development now, and make it happen. Now, as always, at the end of each podcast episode, I'd like to finish with an inspirational quote from my guest speaker. Suzanne said, "Focus on the three D's: discipline, determination, and dedication. Have these principles in place because they'll support you in what you want to do."